I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's like Mothra versus Godzilla out there. I'm talking about the monster movie-style battle between tech giants Microsoft and Yahoo. We'll talk through the latest twist on our tech segment today. Plus, we'll dig into news about online photo sharing and privacy issues with YouTube. With us today is Jay Smooth. He video blogs at illdoctrine.com. Hey, Jay.
Hello, hello.
So let's break down the biggest fight in technology. So software giant Microsoft tried to take over rival Yahoo, but walked away from the fight in May when things weren't going well. But on Monday, Microsoft said it still wanted to buy Yahoo's search business or maybe the entire company. There's one condition. Yahoo would have to replace its current board of directors. So what do you make of this whole battle? Boil it down for people who are just like, I have a computer and I use it. I don't have stock. I don't have anything else. What is this all about?
Well, I mean, you have this company, Yahoo, which is, I mean, a very compelling story to me because the man who's running it now, Jerry Yang, is the one who started it as his pet project. You know, it was his Stanford student website to start it out named Jerry's Guide to the World Wide Web, and it's been built into one of the biggest major corporations and sort of maintained its independence for a long time with him at the head. But the business has been in a downward spiral for a number of years now, and people have a lot of doubts about whether the founder, Jerry Yang, can still keep it a healthy business, and I think a lot of the stockholders and shareholders don't share my romantic notions about how cool it is that he's running things. And they'd like to see someone else come in. And Microsoft has been the one that's been trying to step in. But then I think many of the shareholders and certainly Jerry Yang are afraid that Microsoft only wants to use Yahoo as a pawn and doesn't really have its best interests at heart. A lot of people think that Microsoft just wants to use Yahoo as one of its weapons in a future war against Google. So, I think many people feel like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place as far as the future of the company. And then you've got this other sort of corporate raider, Carl Icahn, coming in through the back end trying to take over the board of directors. And now Microsoft is hoping that Carl Icahn can pull that off, and then Microsoft can pull off a deal with Carl Icahn and just push Jerry Yang out the side door.
It really is kind of a lot going on there. But if there is some kind of a hostile takeover, hostile merger type thing, how would that affect our everyday lives, if at all?
That's a good question. I mean, I think for the vast majority of us who just relate to Yahoo as consumers, I mean, Yahoo has been past its prime for a while. You know, it used to be the dominant internet brand, and it's been fading quite a bit since then. I think no matter what is the outcome, Yahoo will still be around, but it'll continue to fade. And I think, you know, for myself as a consumer, my biggest question is what would happen if Microsoft does indeed buy it and is hoping to use it to wage a war against Google? Like, that just on a visceral level, that seems frightening to me. What would be the prospects there? But in the short term, I think, you know, beyond people whose jobs may be affected at Yahoo, I think there's a chance perhaps Yahoo will completely drown in the corporate maneuvering. But otherwise, I think it'll still be around but continue to play a smaller and smaller role.
Let's talk a little bit about Flickr, which is a photo sharing service, another one of these moments of inspiration that turned into a great business. Yahoo owns Flickr, and Getty Images, the largest photo distributor, announced a deal that it's going to begin licensing some of the photos on Flickr to its clients, who are newswires, newspapers, and magazines. Flickr says it has 54 million users and hosts about 2 billion photos. So again, what does this really mean? What does it mean for a big photo entity that serves professional organizations to go to what has been an amateur hobbyist site?
It's definitely an intriguing development. I mean, in the short term, Getty says it'll be a very limited partnership. And I mean, I think in the short term, I don't think it'll have a huge impact on the lives of professional photographers. But as far as the precedent it sets, if I was a professional photographer, I would definitely be wondering what this means for my role. You know, as technology advances, it becomes easier and easier for amateurs to produce pretty good quality work in various forms of media. And, you know, if everyone can do well as an amateur, it raises the question of what is the future for professionals? And we've certainly seen that in the world of newspapers, especially, and other forms of old media. You know, they're feeling very threatened as far as their viability in this market where amateurs can do so much. And I think in the short term, the vast majority of photographs on Flickr are very low resolution. They were taken with, you know, cheaper consumer digital cameras. But in the long run, I'd definitely be wondering, you know, if someone like Getty Images can come to this vast pool of amateur photos, will the role of professional photographers be shrinking in the long run?
Does this mean someone's going to send me a check for my picture of my cousin?
I would think the odds are against that, but you never know. I mean, there's certainly various kinds of stock photography out there that people are looking for. And Getty says that they're looking to expand their reach in terms of photographs that have more local, regional relevance. So you never know. But in the short term, I think there'll be very few high-end users on Flickr that benefit. And I think if you're a professional photographer, the smartest thing for you to do is adapt your game to this new technology. You should have already been on Flickr and been able to benefit from this.
All right. One last thing. Do you think your YouTube viewing records are secret? Well, think again. Last week, a federal judge told YouTube to cough up its complete logs to Viacom. That's going to let copyright holders know who's watching, what, when, and how often. Viacom owns, you know, so many different groups, Comedy Central, MTV, BET. It wants to see if The Daily Show, for example, is getting ripped, literally, online, and they're getting ripped off. So the Washington Post said the judge's ruling throws users to the wolves. What do you think?
It's definitely seems to be a disturbing precedent. I mean, Viacom says that it doesn't want to use the info to figure anything out about individual users. They just want to see what the aggregate shows about how much money they may be losing from people watching copyrighted content on YouTube. But who's to say that we can trust that once they have all this data that could tell us what each person is watching? You know, certainly you'd have to think they'll be tempted to use it. And as far as the precedent it sets, what happens when the next company wants to make a similar suit? They may not be as trustworthy about using it to figure things out about individuals. So, I mean, I think it does definitely set a dangerous precedent. But I think if you're online, realistically, you have to assume that there's a great deal of data being accumulated about everything you do, and you have to assume that your privacy always could be jeopardized. I think, you know, that's from a common sense standpoint, you had to assume this would happen sooner or later.
Just quickly, what should you do, if so?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't think there's an easy answer to that. Just be very aware that everything you're doing could be documented. I mean, there's ways you can do things from some other IP address other than your own. I mean, I think people think of it as something that only matters as far as people stealing copyrighted work, but there's many other ramifications. I mean, people all around the world use things like Google and YouTube, and there's been cases of government entities seeking to use data to go after political dissidents for what they're doing online. So I think it will definitely be important for people to figure out how to keep that anonymity.
Well, Jay, I want to thank you so much. And we were speaking with Jay Smooth, who video blogs at illdoctrine.com. And he joined us from our NPR studios in New York.